Good morning, everyone. I call the State and Local Government and Elections Conference Committee meeting to order for May 12th, 2025. I can hear myself. Okay. There is a quorum present. We are going to move the adoption table documents and amendments today that will be presented by a nonpartisan staff. So I will move on the adoption of the recommended items on the document titled Motion 1. State government policy, comma, licensing boards be included in the conference committee report. These are agreed upon by the House and the Senate, and I will ask nonpartisan staff to please do a walkthrough of the documents. Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, maybe I'll do the first page and then pass it to Ms. James.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is. Maybe I need to speak a little louder. So, members, the first, well, these are, as Chair Cleburne described, all provisions from the House or Senate bill that the committee, or that the chairs proposed to adopt today. Each row is a different item. So on page one, moving quickly, adoption of Senate language for the state fossil, House language designating the state constellation, House language on Legislative Coordinating Commission technical changes, Senate language regarding election of the Senate president, legislative auditor policy. This would be the House language plus the A28 amendment, which the committee might want to adopt amendments separately. But the A28 is basically a technical change to the House language regarding the conditions in which the legislative auditor can conduct a follow-up special review. Next is the House language for the State Board of Investment annual report, followed by Senate language for state procurement contracting, then House language regarding data practices appeals and the sharing of non-public data, and then the final row on this page, Senate language renaming the Office of Administrative Hearings to the Court of Administrative Hearings.
Members, Stephanie James, Senate Counsel, going on to page two of the same document. The top line is the Office of Administrative Hearings, a provision that creates a remand. The next item is, and those were almost identical in the House and the Senate. We're taking the House language for that. The next item is the org charts and contact information provision that was in the House. The next item, agency advertising, was a Senate-only provision, and you have an amendment. It's the A1 to change the percentage in that measure. And the next item is the SAVE program. This is House-only language. The next item is the Compensation Council sections, a few sections, also House-only. The next item, Budget Reserve Adequacy Report Date Modification, was a Senate-only provision. Next item, Administration. These were the same in both bills. We've listed the Senate's side, but they were the same. The next item is the Grants Management Provisions. The choice is to make to adopt the Senate Section 22, and then in place of Senate Section 23, which is the grants management training, you have the A99 amendment, which is exactly the same text. It's just coded in a different section of statute, and then House Sections 29 through 30 and 32 and 33. The next item, state contracting preferences. The choice is to move the Senate side there.
Then, Madam Chair and members, moving on to page 3 of 6, we have two same provisions, the uncollectible debt report date modification and the extension of CGIP eligibility for spouses of certain retired state employees. Those were both the same, and the motion would be to adopt the Senate language for both of those. Then there's House-only provisions, the insulin repayment account, technical cleanup, that's House language, and whistleblower protections, also House language. Finally, the Racing Commission ADW fee increase is the same between the two bodies, the recommendation to adopt the Senate language here, as well as the Senate language regarding lottery, state lottery ticket retailers, and with different requirements for different business types.
On to page 4 of the motion document. The top item is lottery retailers. This provides for BCA background checks. This is a House provision. What was in versions of it were in both. The motion will be to take the House side of that. The next item, municipal liquor stores, a House only provision. The House has an amendment that will be included as part of this motion. The next item, open positions report. This is a House only provision. The next item, Minnesota benefits and the transit assistant program. That was also a House only provision. Statue replacement that provides for the replacement of one of the statutes in the U.S. Capitol is a House only provision. And the next, and then we have some repealers. The last line on this page four is relates to political and campaign provisions. That's the same on both sides.
And Madam Chair and members, on page five, continuing with the repealers that would be adopted, the first item was the same between the House and the Senate, repeal of the requirement that the Department of Administration develop a model ordinance for outdoor lighting. A recommendation is to take the House language here. Also, the next row, reorganization under a master contract. This is also a Department of Administration requested repealer that passed both the House and the Senate. Proposal is to take the Senate language here. Then there are two House-only repealers that round out this portion of the table. Employee gain-sharing program in MMB would be repealed under the House language. And the House repeals a number of inactive commissions, which you see in the final row of the table.
On page six of the document, the first three lines are licensing boards. The first one is provisions relating to the Board of Cosmetologist Examiners and textured hair. That was a Senate-only provision. The next item is the Board of Architecture provisions. These were on the Senate side only, making some changes to the board and to licensing requirements. And then the Board of Accountancy were essentially the same in the two bodies, but with just technical differences. And the motion here is to take the House side. And finally, the last item on page six, state personnel policies. These were the same, but for technical differences, and the motion will be to take the House side of that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the work of our nonpartisan staff in helping us walk through these provisions. I would like to make note for the committee, we are going to vote on the SAVI provision separately. So when we go to a vote, we will call every provision except for the SAVI provision, and then we will vote on that separately. We do have the amendments that were discussed, the A28, the A98, the A99, the A22, and the A1, I believe is the newspaper provision. Is that correct? Oh, 98. Oh, I'm sorry. It is A98. Sorry. Had the wrong thing on my notes. So I will move the A28, which is the periodic special review follow-ups for the Office of the Legislative Auditor. Is there any discussion to the A28?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This was an amendment that we discussed Friday in our meetings, and I was in consultation with the OLA, and I believe we can make this work, so would urge members to accept.
All right. Any other discussion to the A28? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the A28, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A28 is adopted. Next, we have the A98. Senator McQuaid, I believe that's your motion.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the A98 amendment.
The A98 refers to the local advertising money that was discussed in the walkthrough by nonpartisan. Is there any discussion to the A98? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption to the A98, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails and the A98 is adopted. Next, we have the A99, which is the annual grant training provision. Is there any discussion to the A99? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the A99, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the A99 is adopted. Next, we have the A22. Co-Chair Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A22. The A22 was a recommendation from the Office of the State Auditor to elevate the amount for the audit threshold for municipal liquor stores in the, well, in the state. So just to make it a little easier for all involved, and we appreciate her input.
All right. Is there any discussion to the A22 Nash Amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A22 is adopted. Chair Zhang, we have had a walkthrough of the provisions. We would like to pull the SAVI provision out for a separate vote. Would you be willing to move that all items as amended, with the exception of the SAVI provision, be adopted?
Yes, Madam Chair.
All of those in favor of that motion? Any discussion to the motion? Yes, Senator Westland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to make a note, so the repealer provision for political and campaign subdivisions, I just want to highlight that we actually have a similar provision in the elections bill, but our provision also takes out cross-references, so just know that this may come up again when the election stuff comes forward. I think this just takes out some of the language, but ours takes out some cross-references that need to come out as well.
Thank you, Senator Westland. So if a further amendment would be needed at a future time, we could bring that forward at that time. Right. Thank you for raising that point with us. Is there any further discussion to the motion? All those in favor of adoption of the items as amended with the exception of the SAVI provision. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and those items are adopted as amended. Next, we will have the SAVI provision. Is there any discussion to the SAVI provision? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
The motion does prevail. It is adopted. Next, we are going to continue with public testimony. And first, we will have on our list Dawn Simonson, who will then be followed by Maureen Schneider, who will then be followed by Kathy Kelso. We are asking individuals testifying to please keep their testimony to 2 minutes. President Simonson, when you are ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair Cleburne and members of the Conference Committee. My name is Dawn Simonson, and I'm the President and CEO of Trellis, the Metropolitan Area Agency on Aging for the 7-County Region. My comments today are in support of the Healthy Aging Subcabinet. Trellis, my organization, is a nonprofit. We help everyone thrive as they age, and we work to develop the capacity of communities to care for an aging population. We have longstanding roles in program development, advocacy, community engagement, fund administration, and direct service. Everything we do benefits older adults and family caregivers. But our work and that of others both inside and outside of the aging services sector is simply not enough. The reality is that as a state, we've not adequately prepared for a permanent shift to an older state population. And if the status quo is the future, today's large and growing senior population, more than 1 million people will be challenged to remain at home and to live in good health with opportunities to contribute to their communities. In my day-to-day work, I see growing wait lists for home-delivered meals and increasingly limited access to transportation and in-home services. Also, older Minnesotans lack affordable housing options, require more frequent care than their younger neighbors, fall victim to increasing frauds and scams, and find workplaces to be ageist and public spaces oriented to younger people. These challenges require high-level state leadership that is cross-cutting, collaborative, and committed to making Minnesota a state that is a good place to grow old. The proposed subcabinet on healthy aging offers the opportunity to develop data and evidence-driven partnerships in solution with older adults, citizens, and others. The Healthy Aging Subcabinet is an opportunity. It holds promise to nurture innovation, efficient systems, and solutions with buy-in from Minnesota residents. Please adopt the House language and fully fund the Healthy Aging Subcabinet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the work that you do for our older Minnesotans with your Area Agency on Aging. Thank you very much. Next, we will have Maureen Schneider, the chair of the Minnesota Board on Aging, who will be testifying virtually.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, and to members of the conference committee. I am Maureen Schneider, and I chair the Minnesota Board on Aging, and I'm here today to speak in opposition to the Healthy Aging Cabinet. And I'd like to tell you a few reasons why. The board was represented on the legislative task force, which met to craft the cabinet level language. And we, as a board, unanimously agreed and cast the sole vote against the final recommendations. We believe as a board that establishing another aging entity within the state system would create potential areas for overlap to optimizing aging services and policies across the state. In particular, with existing statewide plans that are led by the Minnesota Board on Aging and Age-Friendly Minnesota. It could also create potential confusion for older adults and community partners who are trying to navigate an already complex system of programs and services, both federal and state funded. The Minnesota Board is administratively housed within DHS, but it operates as an independent entity when it comes to policy development and program administration. This collaborative relationship with DHS has also allowed the Minnesota Board on Aging to leveraging resources that have established the state of Minnesota as a nationally recognized leader in aging when it comes to access to services and a no wrong door approach. Thank you very much for the time today. I appreciate your work.
Thank you, Chair Schneider. And you and I have had many, many wonderful conversations. I appreciate your dedication and your hard work as the chair on the Minnesota Board on Aging. Next, we will have Kathy Kelso with Elder Voice Advocates. When you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Kathleen Kelso, and I'm a board member of the organization Elder Voice Advocates. I speak in support of the Healthy Aging Subcabinet language in the House language, Article 2, Section 6. Today, 1.3 million people are over 65, Minnesotans over 65. The state demographer and the Legislative Task Force on Aging provide a clear directive. We are aging, and we must acknowledge the necessity for a healthy aging subcabinet and a statewide healthy aging plan. The Healthy Aging Subcabinet will conduct an open planning process, a public statewide examination of aging in Minnesota. As demonstrated by the Children's Cabinet, focused attention to a specific demographic is enhanced when given the entity and funding to do so. The Healthy Aging Subcabinet will examine our current aging demographic through a multi-sector and multi-agency planning process. The Healthy Aging Plan will include strategies, private-public partnerships, and policies on housing, transportation, aging services and supports, jobs, and maintaining aging adults in the workplace who want to remain employed. The state demographer provides facts of our reality today. Greater Minnesota has the larger share of the state's older adults and is aging at a faster rate than the metropolitan areas. 70% of women 65 and over live in rural Minnesota. Minnesota's population age 50 and older contributes $154 billion to the state GDP, while holding 1.7 million jobs. Staying in one's home to the extent that one is able to do so contributes to healthy living. Aging in one's community contributes to healthy economic benefits for individuals, families, neighborhoods, and towns. Thank you for your support for the Healthy Aging Subcabinet and Healthy Aging Plan.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your willingness to come back today. I know you will hear on Friday. Next, we have Alicia Lane. When you are ready, I ask that you please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Alicia Lane, and I am the Government Relations Director for the Minnesota Commission of the Deaf, Deaf, Blind, and Hard of Hearing. I'm here to talk about the Healthy Aging Subcabinet. If you look at the deaf and hard of hearing population as a whole, over half of those individuals are aged 65 or older. And it's common knowledge that as we age, our hearing and vision we tend to lose hearing and vision. I myself now am noticing more challenge reading fine print as I age. So that means that people who are working age under 65, those people who are the decision makers and the policy makers, they themselves most likely have not experienced hearing loss or other disabilities. They do not have that lived experience. So disability is a natural part of the aging process, and we believe that knowing how to adapt to disability makes for a more healthy aging process. So that is why we support this Healthy Aging Subcabinet, so that we can have a statewide authority to provide guidance to those individuals and those policymakers across the board, across all agencies. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the work that you do for our state. Thank you. Next, we will have Britta Ritton, followed by Tarek Tomes, followed by Commissioner Tomes, and then Commissioner Gronewall. Deputy Commissioner? Ah, thank you. I see you making your way. When you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning, Chair Cleavorn, Chair Nash, and Chair Zhang, and committee members. For the record, my name is Britta Ritton. I am Deputy Commissioner at Minnesota Management and Budget. Thank you for the opportunity to provide some comments on the Omnibus State Government Bill. While we appreciate much of what is included on both sides of the bill, per the Chair, we will focus today on our points of concern. We especially appreciate the Senate's bill inclusion of the full operating adjustment at the level recommended by the governor as compared to the lower amount in the House position. The operating adjustment is critical to provide for the rising costs at our agency due to the various increases in things like employer-paid health care contributions, FICA, Medicare, along with other salary and compensation-related costs, as well as other operating costs such as lease costs, and IT and legal services. We also hope the committee can find a path to fully fund our enhanced oversight capacity request, which overlaps with the governor's package of anti-fraud proposals. MMB has identified several investments needed to meet the expectations of our various oversight activities. Regarding the Healthy Aging Subcabinet in the House bill, we appreciate the discussions that we've had with Chair Cleavorn and the interest in lifting up issues related to aging Minnesotans. We would caution against adding a new function to the current agency operations if we are not fully funded for the operating request. If the provision is to be included in the conference report, we would also appreciate further conversation to ensure the scope of the activities required can be accomplished within the amount appropriated. We would hope for additional consideration of the governor's recommendation to expand agency operating carry forward authority to allow agencies to uniformly carry forward unexpended non-grant operating appropriations from the second year of the biennium into the next biennium. And then finally, we are concerned by the provision included in the Senate position repealing the general authority for agencies to use a portion of grant funds for administration and oversight of those grants. It is imperative that agencies are provided adequate funds to administer grant programs. These resources are required to ensure that grants are administered properly and that there is appropriate oversight in place to prevent fraud and misuse of those funds. Without this authority, agencies will be left underfunded to carry out that important work. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate our partnership and work together. So thank you. Next, we will have Brandon Hirsch with Minnesota IT. When you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Brandon Hirsch. I'm Director of Government Relations for Minnesota IT Services. On behalf of Commissioner Tomes, I send his regrets that he had a scheduling conflict and was not able to be here today. But we do appreciate the continued partnership with the House and Senate State Government Committee. And chairs, you've been great partners to us as Minute helps to achieve our mission and deliver a digital government that works for all. Together with the Technology Advisory Council, we've made incredible progress strengthening the security of state systems, partnering with local government and education partners to enhance cyber defenses for all Minnesotans, accelerating cloud modernization to improve service resiliency, and more. As the conference committee continues discussions of the state government policy and finance bill, we would encourage consideration of the Senate position related to Minute's budget proposal. We recognize the challenging environment, of course, that the committee must advance the discussions. Adopting the governor's recommended operating adjustment will reflect this reflected in the Senate position will ensure that Minute can continue our statewide leadership role in delivering the outcomes that Minnesotans expect and deserve. The funding supports critical initiatives like advancing the whole of state cybersecurity plan, strengthening those partnerships with schools and local governments, and implementing those recommendations of the Technology Advisory Council. We appreciate your consideration and thank you for your continued partnership.
Thank you very much. And again, I appreciate the work that you do. Commissioner Grunewald, when you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Nash, and Chair Zhang, and the conference committee members. I'm Tamar Grunewald. I'm the commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Administration. Admin's primary role is to help government best serve Minnesotans. We're a central service agency with a wide-ranging set of responsibilities that ultimately touches every part of state government and serves all Minnesota communities. In our letter to the conference committee, we included a few details for a number of suggested changes, but I want to highlight a few for you. First, a key element of the governor's anti-fraud package is admin's data sharing proposal included in the House bill. This provision would break down silos and remove barriers for agencies so they can share limited data to coordinate actions related to investigating potential fraud. Second, to reiterate my testimony from your respective committees, I recognize the challenge that comes with limited resources in crafting a budget bill. I want to thank the Senate for funding the governor's budget recommendations for admin's operating adjustment. These increases will help admin to cover growing expenses for healthcare, compensation, utilities, and IT. Demand for the agency's general fund services has grown over time, and without any operating adjustment, service delivery will be impacted. Third, as you walk through the conference committee process, I encourage you to include policy language to establish the state building renewable energy storage and electric vehicle account that's currently in the Senate bill. This $0 request would enable admin to leverage federal funds for renewable energy and energy storage upgrades at state-owned facilities. Fourth, moving on to grants oversight. Although admin supports the grant training requirements in the Senate bill, I want to strongly caution you against repealing the authority for agencies to use a portion of grant funds for administration. The statute allows for up to 5% for legislatively named grants and up to 10% for competitive grant administration. It's only triggered when funding is not appropriated for agencies to provide this oversight. Effective grant administration is essential to protecting federal funds and ensuring the intent of the grant is met. Every grant requires hundreds of hours of state employees' time. Agencies need adequate resources to ensure the grant recipients and administrators are in compliance with the law and best practices. The Minnesota Council of Nonprofits and Council of Foundations also supports maintaining this authority. Finally, we've experienced the need for contracts and grants to be suspended and reinstated depending on the availability of federal funds. When the state includes a termination clause in their grants and contracts, restarting the canceled grants is extremely administratively burdensome and inefficient. So providing for a statutory suspension rather than a termination would allow greater flexibility to restart the grant. Thank you for your opportunity to testify. I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the work you do for our state. Next, Commissioner Marquardt. Welcome to the committee. When you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Very good. Thank you very much, Chair Cleavorn, Chair Nash, Chair Zhang. Appreciate being here. Appreciate your leadership. Thank you so much. I'm Paul Marquardt, the Commissioner, Department of Revenue. Thank you so much for hearing the governor's budget proposal and for meeting with myself and members of the staff several times on the budget. Your leadership and partnership is greatly appreciated. The governor's budget proposal of $4.2 million in 26 and $8.5 million in 27 covers existing employees and new technology, but no new FTEs. So any reduction in the governor's funding is going to impact staff levels, and that's going to impact service levels, that's response times on refunds and tax processing. It could impact state revenues with less auditing and collections and so forth, and also impact our fraud prevention efforts. Also, the mission of the department is to fund the future for all of Minnesota, and so we collect and bring in about $33.3 billion a year. And so with your continued support and help, we can continue to meet that mission in an excellent fashion. So again, thank you so much for your support during this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate your being with us this morning. Next, we have Kent Wentworth from the Minnesota History Center. When you're ready, if you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Chair Cleavorn, Chair Nash, Chair Zhang, members of the State Government Finance or State Government Conference Committee. My name is Kent Whitworth, and I serve as the Director and CEO of the Minnesota Historical Society. I want to thank you for your past support of MNHS as we work to collect, preserve, and to share Minnesota's history for today's Minnesotans and also for future generations. We recognize that the state of Minnesota and this committee have significant budget pressures, and like you at the Minnesota Historical Society, we also face budget pressures. We sincerely appreciate the governor's recommendation for a modest operating adjustment, and we urge your support of this funding. However, increasing cost of staff compensation, utilities, facilities costs, such as the History Center lease expense, will create significant challenges as we work to implement our own budget for the next biennium. We request that you maintain the governor's recommended levels for the operating adjustment to help minimize reductions to our budget. Madam Chair, I'd like to address one policy item in the bill. The Senate bill repeals the statute that permits agencies to recover cost of administering grant programs. We administer several state grant programs, including the Legacy Amendment Competitive History Grants, which has been very, very successful. In order to responsibly administer these grant programs, it takes resources. We'd appreciate the opportunity to continue the conversation to ensure that we have the proper resources to administer public funds wisely and to serve our state's history community that has accomplished so much with these funds. Thank you for your support and your work in this conference committee.
Thank you very much for your work and for your testimony this morning. That concludes the individuals that we have listed to testify this morning. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to testify this morning? Seeing none, I believe that we have concluded our business for the day. Members, is there any member discussion? Seeing none, our work is complete and we are adjourned.